Today has been a very special day for our church. Baby dedication is a very special occasion. It's a time when we remember that commandment that Jesus gave us, the one we remembered just a few moments ago, where the Bible says that Jesus commanded us to let the little children come unto me. It is incredibly meaningful when you know that the parents involved, like David and Jennifer, are serious about what they've done this morning. They are serious about raising their family in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that is so very special. There is no greater gift that any parent can give than to offer a strong, established Christian home to their families. And in a world that is filled with temptation and danger, there's no greater institution in the world than a godly family established on the Lord and in His Word. And that's why we rejoice so much with what God has done with David and Jennifer today. But we also remember this, and what is true of a family is equally true of a church family. The Lord has given us a clear commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. As a church, we have all kinds of things that go on around here. All kinds of ministries, all kinds of activities, all kinds of programs, all kinds of priorities. One thing is true about our church, like most every Baptist church I know of, is if you want to stay busy, we can find a way to keep you busy. And while it's true that we have all kinds of things going on, the Great Commission reminds us that as a church, we really only have two primary commands. The first one is evangelism. Reaching people, leading them to a saving relationship with Christ. We exist to see people who were once lost saved. We exist to see those who eternally were apart from God now a part of the family. And the second primary command is discipleship. Helping believers to mature into fully functioning followers of Jesus. Once a person is saved, that's the purpose of the church in their lives. Help them to become fully functioning followers of Jesus Christ. And that's the purpose of our final letter in the Grace Acrostic. Over these last 5 weeks, we have been looking together at what is our church all about, and we've looked at that acrostic, Grace, G, glorifying God, R, reaching people, A, actively committed to ministry and missions. Last week, C, a caring fellowship. And now this morning, as we wrap this up, we look at the final great purpose, which is exercising biblical discipleship. Discipleship. That's a wonderful word. Discipleship. That means learning what it means to know and follow Jesus. God has called us to serious discipleship, to being committed to turning believers into followers. And a key passage is a passage we read together just a few moments ago, Colossians 2, 6 and 7. So this morning, as we remember what God has done with this family, what God is doing in our lives, what God wants to do through our church, I want us to look together at what Colossians 2 has to teach us about discipleship. And if I were going to take that passage apart, I would begin by simply saying genuine discipleship always involves two basic experiences. Colossians says this: as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in Him. As you have received Him, so walk in Him. There has to be a definite beginning in the life of a disciple. Paul said, as you have received, as you know, you became a follower of Jesus. You cannot be a disciple of Christ until first you were a follower of His, until first you have had a saving relationship with Him. And every believer needs to be able to know and describe that moment when they invited Christ to come into their lives. There is always a moment of definite beginning. For instance, every year from now on, when October 29th comes along, we're going to know that's James's birthday. It will happen when he's 1. It will happen when he's 9, when he's 17, when he's 35, when he's 82. As long as he walks this earth, there will be a birthday, a day that celebrates that definite beginning of his life. He will celebrate that moment when the doctor said to Jennifer and David, "You have a son." That's great, isn't it? The same thing is true about being born again. There has to be a definite beginning. There has to be that point where you know, I was lost and now I'm found. I was separated from the people of God and now I have been adopted into God's forever family. I remember when I was saved. One thing should never be true in a believer's life, and it should be there should never be a time when you ask someone, "Can you remember that moment when you came into a saving relationship with Jesus?" And they say, "Well, you know, I know it happened." It's kind of like having a baby. You know, I know we had a baby somewhere back then. I just don't quite remember when or what was going on. Or, you know, it just kind of happened. And all of a sudden we looked around and there was this new kid in our house. That never happens. And in the same way, there should never be the time in the life of a genuine believer when you simply say, "You know, I guess I'm a Christian. I think I'm a Christian. I've been to church. I grew up in church. I go to church from time to time. I try to do good things. I try to be a good person. I'm pretty sure I'm a Christian." No. The Bible reminds us that "as you have received," tells us, there was that moment. That moment when you know you said yes to the voice of Christ, when you heard Him knocking at your heart's door and you decided to open the door, when you were able to say, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner," and you knew He forgave you and He washed you clean. There has to be that moment of definite beginning. And one thing should be true of all of us in the room today who call ourselves believers and followers of Jesus, is if somebody asks you today, "When were you saved? Tell me about it." Oh, some of you might not be able to say this was the exact date, but you can say, "This is what happened in my life." If someone sat down and said, "Describe to me how you became a Christian," then you should be able to say, "I remember the time when I was born again." For some of us, it was a very dramatic event. For some of us, it was the most natural thing in the world. But for all of us, there was that moment. There's a definite beginning. And the second thing in the life of a disciple is this, and there's also a definite commitment that follows salvation. How do I know that's true? Because of the continuation that we find in Colossians, where Paul says, "As you have received Christ Jesus, so walk in Him." He is saying, you've got a decision to make. Now that you have received Christ Jesus, it is time for you to begin a walk in Him. And that definite commitment comes when you realize it's just not enough to simply trust Christ. It's not enough to settle eternity. It's not enough, and it can't satisfy my soul to just know there was that time once a long time ago when I said yes to Jesus, but nothing has happened since. Instead, the Bible says we are to walk in Him. That is to simply make a commitment to follow Christ in every area of your life. And that commitment is called discipleship. Discipleship is simply a word that describes what it means to say, whoever I am, wherever I go, whatever I do, however I live to honor Jesus Christ. I want my life to point to Him. As a church, we are called to teach people to observe all things. That means we are called to bring believers into spiritual maturity. And that means a lot of things. If we are committed to bring believers into spiritual maturity, then that means this morning when Sunday school teachers all around this building prepared their lessons and stood before their classes and presented them, they came with an intention, I am going to teach people to practice discipleship. Whether they are 1 year old or 10 years old or 30 years old or 50 years old, whatever age they happen to be, your teacher stood before you and said, it is my job to teach you the Word of God and the practice of discipleship. It means that when you come in here and gather for a morning worship service, that our worship is aimed toward helping you to practice your faith. Those songs that we sang together this morning, those are not just nice songs to make you feel good. They teach things, they tell things, they proclaim truth that we need to know. It truly is enough to know that Jesus died and that He died for me. You know why? Because that's good theology. It's important to know in Christ alone I take my stand, because that's good theology. And when I stand behind this pulpit and I proclaim the word, that's my calling. My calling is not to give you good things to feel or good thoughts to think over. My job is simply to stand and say to you out of God's word, thus saith the Lord. Because that's discipleship. That's discipleship. Our job as a church is just like David and Jennifer's. What would it be like if they carried James home after church this morning and they sat him down and they said to him, okay, son, we've done our part. The rest of it's just up to you. What if they said, it's up to you to raise yourself, to clothe yourself, to take care of yourself, to provide for yourself. I've done all we could. Now, you're born, you've got a place to live, we've dedicated you at church, we're done. They're not going to do that. They love James. They have a responsibility to him. They will feed him and they will clothe him and they will play with him, they will kiss on him. They will never once think of this as an obligation or a responsibility. It is their privilege. They are his parents and they love him. They're going to teach him how to walk, and they're going to teach him how to talk. As he grows, they're going to teach him how to behave, how to treat other people, how to use good manners. There's all kinds of things you have to learn. As he grows older, he's going to learn how to do things and play sports and do all sorts of things. They're going to take him to school. They're going to help him to learn. They're going to teach him how to read. And they're going to teach him what to believe. Because David and Jennifer, here's your greatest responsibility, not just to James, but to all of your children. That responsibility we see that's obvious in you. Your greatest responsibility where James is concerned is to prepare him for the day when he says yes to Jesus. That's your biggest job. To know that when that time comes that he hears the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking in his heart, he'll be ready to say yes because you've taken him there. That's a parent's greatest responsibility and greatest privilege. Over the years, I have sat in my office or in homes of young people, and I have helped literally scores of children come to know Christ. I've sat down with them, and we've talked about what the Bible says and what the gospel means, and we've talked about inviting Christ into your life, and we've talked about sin, and we've talked about the cross, and we've talked about what it means to follow Jesus. Scores of times I have been a witness as children have bowed their head and prayed a prayer and invited Christ to come into their lives. It is always a privilege to do that. But you know what I love it the most? I love it the most when I sit down in my office on a couch and all I'm doing there is putting the period at the end of the sentence because their parents have prepared them to say yes to Jesus. Because long before I ever entered the scene, they had talked together about what it means to follow Him, and they had looked together at Scripture, and they had discussed what it means to become a Christian. And I just kind of come in at the very end and go, and God has done what only God can do. And that's an important thing. It is an important thing as parents to simply have that opportunity to prepare the way. And then even after he has trusted Christ, you'll continue to teach him and show him how to live as a believer. That's the biblical model. It has been from the very beginning of the Bible. The very beginning of the Bible, God puts responsibility on parents. He says, teach your children. Teach your children. When you rise up and when you sit down and when you lie in your bed and all the seasons of life. What he's basically saying, what the Bible is basically saying is there will always be people there to help your children in spiritual ways. There will be Sunday school teachers. There will be people who invest in their lives. There will be preachers who will be glad to talk to them. But really, it's you. As parents, really, it's you. And you lead your children to know and to follow Christ. His most compelling command on any life is two simple words: follow me. And that's really what you do. That's what all of us do with our families. Follow me. When a believer becomes a follower, then a true disciple is born. When a believer allows his faith to inform and mold and change everything about who they are, then that person becomes a disciple. It's kind of like being a soldier. You know, the question we asked this morning, I ask you this morning, when does a soldier become a soldier? Well, in one sense, a soldier becomes a soldier as soon as he joins a group of men and they raise their hands and they take an oath to protect the nation. And from that point forward, they are assigned a uniform. They are given dog tags. And they have become a soldier. But in another sense, a soldier only truly becomes a soldier when he has finished basic training and he's gone out into the battlefield or into active service and he begins to practice what it means to represent his nation and to protect our land. The same thing is true about a disciple. When does a disciple become a disciple? Well, in one sense, a disciple becomes a disciple in that very moment that they accept Christ and become a believer. But a disciple really becomes a disciple when he begins to live out what that means. Seriously practice what the Bible teaches. Because that's when you truly become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Second thing that we would need to see this morning is simply this. Exercising discipleship means experiencing true growth. There is no such thing as standing still in the Christian life. The truth is, in the spiritual world, you're doing one of two things, and it's happening all the time. You're either growing or you're atrophying. And there's nothing in between. There's no such thing as neutral in the Christian life. I'm either growing or I'm withering away. Next Sunday, I'm going to begin a series of messages from one of my very favorite passages of Scripture, which is John 15. I am the vine, you are the branches. And we're going to continue on as we look at what God has promised us. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Now it will grow and be obvious. Now it will flourish and bear fruit, because that's God's plan. Well, Paul uses that same image when he talks about spiritual growth. He says we are to be rooted and built up in Him. That is, discipleship involves both the visible and the invisible. The roots provide the nourishment, the branches reveal the growth. And serious discipleship is rooted and built up. We are rooted in our private faith. I said a moment ago that we could look at one another in the face and say, so tell me about that time when you became a Christian. Tell me about that time when you said yes to Jesus. But here's the truth. You could come to me and you could say, tell me about that time when you became a Christian. And I could describe an experience to you when I trusted Christ. And as far as you're concerned, every word of it is true. You have no reason to doubt it. It must have happened that way. But you know what? You really don't know, do you? You really don't know what's going on in my heart of hearts. Maybe I made that story up. Maybe I embellished it beyond recognition. Maybe people who knew me during that season would say, boy, we never saw any evidence that anything had happened in his life. The truth is, nobody knows what's going on inside another person's heart. Not one of us. That's why you have to be rooted, and it has to be you that handles that private walk with God. It is you who has to deal with your inner walk with Christ. It's so easy to look like a good Christian. You show up a few Sundays in a row, you do the right things, you sing the right songs, you say the right words, and it looks like everything is fine, but it may be that nothing's going on the inside. You are responsible for your own private faith, that part of you that nobody else can see but the Lord. And your roots grow as you spend personal time with Him, as you invest yourself in God's Word, as you commit yourself to follow Him, and you decide it within the privacy of your own heart. We are to be rooted in Christ, but we are built up in our public walk. We are to be rooted, but we can't just say, my private faith is my private faith. Because there has to be evidence God is at work. That's the testimony and the demonstration of who we are and what we believe. And please note, both of those things are vital. You must be rooted, but you also must be built up. That's why it's so important to never say, I will just let my life be my witness. Because you need to talk about what you believe. You need to give evidence of what you believe. I'm not sure that I've ever heard of anyone who said, I came to Christ because there were these people around me and their life was their witness. They never said anything to me. They never shared anything with me. I just became a Christian because I watched their life. I've never seen that happen. But I'll tell you what else I've never seen happen. And I've never seen someone say, I became a Christian because somebody spoke the right words to me. And they shared a testimony with me. Now understand, the same time they're sharing that testimony with me, they were living like a heathen. I watched them every day. I watched the way they acted. I watched the words they used. I watched the person they were. And I saw no evidence of Christ in their life, but they said the right words, so I became a Christian. What has to happen? The two have to go together. Who I am and what I say, rooted and built up, they have to go together. And that's the work of a disciple. A disciple believes what he believes and practices what he believes and demonstrates what he believes in such a way that people say it must be true because it's true in their life. When I see her, when I see him, I recognize they're serious about what they believe. And then the Bible says, biblical discipleship is the work of a lifetime. Established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. What does the Bible say? The Bible says discipleship is both our anchor and our goal. It is the foundation out of which we live our lives. It is also the goal for our spiritual lives. If we are anchored in the Word, if our trust is in Christ Jesus, then we will be able to thrive and to grow through the winds of time. That really is the message behind that song we sang, In Christ Alone. I am anchored in Him. I have no doubt He is my foundation. Now, none of us know what the future holds. And some of us are going to be surprised by some of the things we're going to face. I heard someone say one time, and I think it's so true, that mankind, with all of his knowledge and all of his wisdom and all of his technology and all of his learning and all of his innovation, mankind, with all of the things we know, has no clue what's going to happen 2 seconds from now. It's the truth, isn't it? But if we're anchored in Christ, we do know this: come what may, my faith is strong. It has found its resting place. We are to be anchored, but we're also to allow our discipleship to set the goal for us. We're established in the faith, but we're also to be abounding with thanksgiving. A true disciple understands this: yesterday I knew him, today I know him even better, but tomorrow I will know him even more abundantly. There is a process of growth going on. Biblical discipleship understands we will never arrive at full spiritual maturity. There will always be further to go. Always know God still has more for me. God's still planning more for me. God still has more to teach me. I need to go further in my faith. Never be like the lady at one of the churches I served who came up to me one Sunday after church and she said, you know, I've made a decision this week. And I said, well, what is it? And she said, I'm not going to be coming back anymore on Sunday nights. And I said, well, why not? And she said, because I've realized that I've already learned all the discipleship I'll ever need to know. So I won't be coming back anymore on Sunday night. Faithful Sunday morning. Never be like that. Never assume I have arrived. I've learned it all. I've grown as big as I'm ever going to grow. I've served as far as I'm ever going to serve. Instead, we remember God has a plan, and that is that discipleship is our goal. When we exercise biblical discipleship, then we are ready to be used by Christ. The whole point of discipleship is to put your life at Christ's disposal. It is to say to the Lord, whatever you want to do with me, here I am. I put my life at your feet. And that's the whole point of discipleship. It's true of discipleship in a church. It's true of discipleship in a life. Discipleship is simply and actively laying your life at the feet of Jesus. So I wondered this morning if that's something you need to do. Maybe you're here. You're not a believer. That doesn't mean you don't believe about Christ. It simply means you've never believed in Christ. You've never given your life to Him and simply said, come into my life. You died for me. You rose for me. You forgive my sins. You give me eternal life. I want to trust you. And if you're here today and you've never become a Christian, just a moment, we're going to stand. We're going to sing an invitation hymn. And I'm going to be here, and Brother Rich is going to be here, and either one of us will be glad to help you come to a full saving knowledge of Jesus. Or maybe you're here and you recognize, if I'm going to be the disciple God wants me to be, I need to be part of a church, not just to attend, but to plant my life. And I want to plant my membership at First Baptist Church so I can follow Him here. Or maybe as a believer and a disciple, there's a personal decision you need to make, and you want to make it publicly. Today you need to come. Is there something God wants you to do? We're going to stand. We're going to sing our invitation hymn. If God's Holy Spirit is speaking to you, you come. Let's stand together. Let's sing.